$6.99 or more to elevate your sleep every night. Save big. Sleep better. Shop the semi-annual sale now.
I have only 5 words for you.
From my cold, dead hands.
It's time for Gun Radio Utah. No apologies. A show dedicated to preserving and protecting your constitutional right to bear arms for your security and sport. Here's your host, well-known gun rights advocate and chairman of the Utah Shooting Sports Council, Clark Apogian.
My hands are not cold, nor are they dead, but they do smell like pistachios right now. So the shelled pistachios, honey roasted, nonetheless. Welcome to Gun Radio Utah. I'm your host, Clark Apogian. Let's see if I can hear better. Oh, there, boy, that's loud now, too. Okay, I had the wrong button pushed. Jesus is laughing. Stop laughing, Jesus. And one quick thing, Kanga, don't you sass. Don't you sass over there, Kanga. Anyway, so we have got a show for you. We have got a packed show for you today, and you want to make sure to listen. Well, you want to make sure to listen to all 4 segments. But second segment coming up, we have the chair of the House Judiciary Committee and a friend of Gun Radio Utah, Carrie Ann Lisenby, coming on to talk about something very exciting for Utah. And I want to hear what's going on and the status on that thing, too. We're going to go to Texas. We're going to find out what's going on in Texas and what is what's in store for them on their concealed carry front. And Sarasota County Sheriff Kurt A. Hoffman wrote an op-ed in the local paper in the Tampa Tribune, I don't know, whatever it is. And in response to President Biden's gun control actions, and really sums it up quite nicely. And this is the sheriff. And this is going to kind of go along with what Representative Lisenby is going to be talking about, too. In addition to that, survey. You've heard the surveys. What is it, like 99% that the surveys say of people, of the United States people, want universal background checks? Well, I guess it depends on what survey that you look at, because there's another one from the New York-based McLaughlin and Associates that has it different, okay? And I have a gripe with Guns.com. Guns.com just published the top 10 most friendly gun states or gun-friendly states. And guess which number, hey, Jesus, guess which number Utah was in the top 10? It didn't even make the top 10. It didn't even make the top 10. And I don't know who is, I see the criteria, I see the metric right here for what they do, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to definitely talk about that. And why isn't, I mean, Utah gets an F rating from the gun control folks, and that's good. That's a well-earned F rating. And so anyway, I think we should be, yeah, F is for fantastic. Thank you. F is for fantastic, says Jesus. All right. And we're going to talk about also, so not only is, my headphones are tweaking out on me here. Not only would President Biden want to see universal background checks and then ban certain kinds of AR pistols, and what else did he want to do? I don't know. Yeah, that whole bunch of other stuff. Oh, I can't remember now. All the stuff that he wanted to do by executive order. The Democrats in Congress have also been busy coming up with even more things that they want to ban. We're going to talk about that, including some type of ammunition and things that actually are meant to help you, and they want to ban them. So we're going to talk about that. But let's go to Texas right now. I originally saw this article on CBSNews.com. Because it was kind of strange. The headline reads, Texas House approves open carry without a permit for handgun owners. And I said, what is Texas doing approving open carry? You know, at first I thought, well, maybe Texas already had open carry. But, you know, I wasn't sure about Texas. Anyway, well, come to find out, Texas is actually just dropping their permit system. They're going to, a requirement, they're going to keep their permit system just like Utah did. But it's basically just another, it'll be the 20th state to adopt constitutional carry, or we say common sense carry. But CBS News you know, Jason Silverstein says, no, they're just going to approve open carry without a permit for handgun owners. And as an aside, he says, oh, also, you'll be able to carry it concealed. And I'm like, never has one who knows so little about firearms written so much about guns, though, is this guy, Jason Silverstein. Anyway, so what it is, that the Texas House passed a bill Thursday that would, and he says, that would allow people to open carry handguns with a without a permit. And, but the bill's big thing is concealed carry. Yes, you can open carry now without a permit if the bill is signed by the governor, but it's concealed carry is the big one. Then he goes on to say the bill would allow anyone 21 or older to carry a handgun. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Only those people that can purchase and possess legally a firearm. And so we've got, if you're illegally here in the United States, if you're under a protective order, if you're convicted of felonies, if you have domestic violence, if you're an illegal user of controlled substance, it's not anyone over 21. And that's what has been our saving grace, is that yeah, we don't get lumped in with the bad guys. The good folks that are carrying, that can legally carry, whether you have a permit or not, you still have to have the appropriate absence of a criminal history. All right, anyway, so they go on to say that the bill's lead sponsor, GOP Representative Matt Schaefer, called it constitutional carry legislation and argued that many people don't have the time and money to get a permit. Whereas I agree with Representative Schaefer, that's not the big selling point, in my opinion. It isn't about the time. It's not about the money. It's about, it's quite honestly, it's about the freedom. It's, asking for permission for an otherwise already law-abiding person to go through the hoops and then get the permission to carry. That's what I'd like to do away with. And we did that. We were the 17th or 18th state to do that here in Utah. Oh, by the way, while I'm at it, folks, I get on the social media every once in a while, or somebody sends me a link and says, Clark, what's going on with this? I just found out that our constitutional carry here in Utah that goes into effect May 5th, you can carry without a permit as long as you're 21 and older and absent of a criminal background. As long as you can legally purchase and possess that firearm, well, then you can carry it. And But there's this rumor that has been going around ever since, even before the bill was passed, HB 60, that you can't carry it loaded. And that was, for a brief moment in time, true with the very first draft of the legislation. But as you know about legislation, it gets changed and changed. I think it was on at least its third substitute, if not more. And ever since the second substitute of that bill, that was corrected. It was an oversight. It was never meant to be concealed carry without, you know, that it wouldn't be loaded. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, would you folks out there that are continuing this, stop telling people that as of May 5th, you can't carry, you know, via constitutional carry or common sense carry, that you can't carry it loaded. Yes, you can carry it loaded. The only difference is, one, you don't have the reciprocity recognition with the other 36 states that you do with a permit. You still have to go through the background check when you buy a firearm rather than just, you know, plop down your concealed carry permit and they check that. And you can't carry in schools or universities or on the grounds around them unless you have a permit. But anyway, so, and if you want to find out where that is, don't look at the code right now because the code hasn't changed until May 5th. Look at the very last two lines of the legislation of HB 60. The very last two lines refer to 504, 1 and 2, and 2A and B, I think it is. Anyways, it gives an exemption for those that would have otherwise been illegal to carry a loaded.
A Year to Pay is part of the heritage of Morgan Jewelers that Chase and I proudly carry on at morganjewelers.com.
Welcome back to Gun Radio Utah with Clark Kapoosian on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know.
I gotta love that sedate, mild, temperate bumper music, Jesus. Gotta love it. So anyway, Welcome back to Gun Radio Utah. I am your host, Clark Apotian. I chair the Utah Shooting Sports Council, which is Utah's gun lobby, and we work very closely, very, very closely, morning till night, especially during the session, but even after the session, with key legislators up on Capitol, Utah's Capitol Hill. And one of them is joining us right now, kind of a gun rights rock star, Representative Carrie Ann Lisenby. Are you there?
I am here. How you doing, Clark?
We're doing very well. And thanks for joining us on Gun Radio Utah. Before you get into what you were going to say, I wanted to let you know that a group of Democrats in Congress this week announced a measure that would end lawful consumer ownership of firearm suppressors, as well as magazines that hold over 10 rounds, and make and the prohibition on lawful suppressors without the provision to grandfather those already in circulation with consumers. This is going to hit me hard because right now I have a $3,000 suppressor waiting. It's for a Barrett 50 cal. And are they going to really give me $3,000 that I paid for this thing? I doubt it. But anyway, what are your thoughts on this, on that federal legislation? And what have you got? What's in the hopper?
I saw that, Clark. And, it's really disappointing, and it's actually really, really, at the same time, interesting that those on the left that are in elected office, and even some of our moderates on the Republican side, don't seem to understand that the number of gun sales in America and in Utah over the past year should be a signal that even those that are moderate or on the left are looking at the Second Amendment differently, perhaps. And I really think that recent polls show that. And it's just, I think we need to have our eyes wide open that people recognize the fundamental right of self-defense. And that's at stake here with all of these crazy laws that the left is proposing in Congress.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I was going to let you know that the New York-based McLaughlin and Associates, where they polled likely voters, found a very different polling, very different results than some of these other polling things that said that nearly three-quarters of respondents said they support the right to keep and bear arms, with only 6% saying they strongly oppose the Second Amendment. And in a deeper dive, 58% said that they would support a candidate for Congress who supports 2A rights. 55% chose better enforcement of gun laws already on the books rather than adopting new gun control laws. And that jives with a Gallup poll which said 41%. Only 41% of the public is dissatisfied with current gun laws and wants them stricter.
That's correct, Clark. And what's interesting, especially about the McLaughlin poll, I read that too this week, is that if you look at the demographics at the beginning of the poll, the majority of respondents appreciate Joe Biden's work, supported him, and voted for him in the last election.
Isn't that interesting?
So that should be a signal to, like I said, those people on the left who really don't recognize that there is a fundamental right to self-defense.
Maybe it's because more Democrats are buying guns because they had an epiphany their own vulnerability during these riots. I don't know. Maybe that's it. So what have you got going?
I appreciate it. I just wanted to say, according to the Wall Street Journal, last month, 4.7 million guns were sold in America just in one month. That's pretty astounding. And that can't all be Republicans, in my opinion. I do think that there are a lot of people that are moderate and on the left that are purchasing firearms.
They must be, because most of that wasn't even me. So,
Oh, I saw a great T-shirt at the range today. I actually was up shooting, and it said, "Gun control, I only bought one today."
Okay, Casey, if you're listening, I want that T-shirt.
I want that T-shirt, too. I laughed out loud. So look, Clark, there's states... State after state after state are passing these Second Amendment sanctuary bills. And, Nebraska just did it this week, Kentucky and Tennessee earlier this year, Kansas previously, Missouri, I think previously, Texas it's in the Senate, I think, or maybe out of the Senate.
In fact,
yesterday,
the Republican, Greg Abbott, the Republican governor, said that he wants to make Texas a Second Amendment sanctuary.
That's right. And that's something I've heard a lot from my constituents over the past few months that they want to see. And I know that other reps and senators have seen the same thing. And so when right before Biden announced his wonderful new agenda, I'm being sarcastic, I reached out to our leadership team in the House and I said, what do you guys think about putting the Second Amendment sanctuary bill on the special session in May, May 18th? And they all agreed that it would be a good idea. And they did.
Wow.
And so they said, hey, can you work on the Senate? So I got to work on the Senate. And actually, the Senate earlier this week said they would be on board with putting that on the agenda for a Second Amendment sanctuary in May.
Okay, that's huge.
Session.
That is huge.
It's huge.
I don't know how you did that. You make it sound rather simple. You just kind of glossed over everything. But you made that sound really simple, Representative. I don't know how you did it. I would love to know. And keep doing it.
Well, it's not just me. It's other fellow legislators, it's other senators, and it's the constituents. It's you guys out there listening, contacting your reps, contacting your senators, talking about this issue. And the one hurdle, the one obstacle that we have is the governor and the governor's office. And so I would just encourage everybody out there who's listening to reach out to the governor's office and ask him to get on board in protecting our Second Amendment rights in Utah.
I listened to the governor earlier this week on a rural radio show. And he did throw some cold water on Second Amendment. In fact, that was one of the five or six questions that came up. And he threw cold water on the concept of a Second Amendment sanctuary, in that I think he called it theater or something like that along those lines. And what do you say to him when he says it doesn't make any difference?
It's a really great question. And what I say to that is, look, there are unanswered questions from Heller. And one of those is the incorporation question. And so do states also have Second Amendment rights as well as individuals, which are guaranteed not only under the Second Amendment in the Constitution, but just in my opinion, and I think also in Scalia's opinion, the Second Amendment is actually a prohibition on government. It's not an enumerated right that's granted by the Constitution, and everybody has the right. It's been recognized even in English common law that people have the right to self-defense. And so, and in Heller, that question was left unanswered in the majority opinion written by Scalia. And that's something that if we pass and other conservative states pass the Second Amendment sanctuary, that question can be asked at the national level and the Supreme Court can decide. And that's an important question that I think we need answered. And so that's one of the answers, but also just our sheriffs in Utah are rock stars. I really appreciate all the work they do to protect us. And they also need some cover and some protection because they don't want to be coming after the firearms of lawful and law-abiding Utah residents.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, I keep reminding people, I live in Uinta County now, although I still have a place in Cottonwood Heights, but Uinta County, and our sheriff there signed, it was the very first county to sign a 2A sanctuary, one with a lot of good points in it, a 2A sanctuary ordinance there. So that's fantastic.
Awesome.
I loved how you emphasized, though, that the 2A, that the Second Amendment isn't necessarily the right. It's a prohibition on government on an existing right. The right to keep and bear arms doesn't exist because we have the Second Amendment. It was merely enumerated or listed or referenced in the 2A, and it's a prohibition against government doing that. Love that. Fantastic. What should we look forward to, and what can the listeners of Gun Radio Utah do to help?
Well, please, please, please contact the governor's office, phone calls, emails, and don't let up. Let him know that Utahns want a Second Amendment sanctuary bill, and especially, I think it's time sensitive. I think we need to do it in the special session in May, and so get on your phones, get on your emails, and contact the governor.
Fantastic. Representative Lisenby, Carrie Ann Lisenby, thank you very much for being on Gun Radio Utah. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Clark.
Right.
Bye.
Now, when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit more, but I really like this idea. If for nothing else, folks, if for nothing else, even though there's a lot more to a 2A sanctuary law, and this would be the state, but I mean, we're looking at Texas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Kansas, and I'm just naming a few of them that are actually talking not about cities, not about counties and towns, but about the entire state being a 2A sanctuary state, so that when an infringement on your right to keep and bear arms comes up from the feds, that they have something they can fall back on. If nothing else, it's one more flaming torch. It's one more pitchfork in the hands of the citizens of the United States, in this case, citizens of Utah, at the palace gates.
U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Are you struggling with erectile dysfunction? Visit WasatchMedicalClinic.com for a free offer.
We're not just going to let you walk out of here.
Who is we, sucker?
Smith and Wesson and me.
Gun Radio Utah. Your host, Clark Apotian.
Welcome back to Gun Radio Utah. No apologies here on KNRS. No apologies on that. That was good. I just like this song, even though it's kind of an anti-gun song. Did you know that, Jesus? Saturday Night.
Not until today.
Yeah, Saturday Night Special by Leonard Skinner is an anti-gun song. He actually says in the lyrics that handguns are good for nothing but killing a man and putting him 6 feet in a hole, and they should all be dropped into an ocean or something like that. But I like Leonard Skinner's music. Do you know where the name Leonard Skinner came from? It was the band's, it was one of the band members' gym teacher. He was named Leonard Skinner.
That's so random.
Anyway, thank you. All right, so getting back into stuff that is going to be banned or registered or something like that, the National Firearms Act is, in a nutshell, was created to categorize certain kinds of guns that then would have to be registered. Things like short-barreled rifles, rifles under 16 inches, shotguns under 18 inches, short-barreled shotguns, and, or as Utah used to call them until several years ago, sawed-off shotguns and sawed-off rifles. That was literally in the statute, sawed-off. So anyway, Representative Ken Ivory actually changed that one to short-barreled, and we did some good things with that one. Anyway, so, and it has AOWs, any other weapon, which really is a hard classification. You know, if you put a vertical grip on a pistol, that becomes an AOW. Anyway, and you've got destructive devices that they really just can't classify. I've got a street sweeper that's listed as a destructive device. And then, of course, machine guns and suppressors. So what they want to do, the Democrats are seeking to do, are to put large handguns. Yeah, large handguns. They want to put them into and have a brand new category of weapons that adds all the red tape, all the fingerprints, all the photographs, all the registration, all the $200 tax stamp that comes with it to large handguns. And because they're saying that a handgun is concealable, but a large handgun is just more powerful and concealable. Folks, if you know the kind of guns we're talking about, the AR pistols and that kind of stuff, I dare you to put one in your pocket. Or down your pants or anything like that. Yeah, they are a little shorter, but that's not the whole point behind them. Anyway, so they also want to create a new classification called the Armor-Piercing Concealable Weapons Act to the NFA. And it was announced under the Law Enforcement Protection Act. So anyway, the text, I tried to find the actual text, the language in this, but it hasn't been available yet. And it, but it's designed to place registration and obvious, you know, regulatory burdens on these AR-15 type pistols. So, but think about this. They actually say that it's going to, this is the Democrats who are supporting this, say it's designed to place registration and regulatory burdens on these pistols. Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're putting a burden on the Second Amendment, on the right to keep and bear these arms. As in the word infringe, which is shall not be, which is in the Second Amendment. Anyway, so then when you couple that with another one, New Jersey Democrats Bob Menendez and Bonnie Watson Coleman, they introduced legislation to ban gun silencers or suppressors, whoever you want to call them. Technically speaking, you know, Mr. Maxim came up with the with this muffler, this gun muffler, and called it a silencer. But I think people in the industry and that, we call them suppressors. But I don't care what you call them. Anyways, they're designed to muffle the report of a firearm. They do not silence it, though. And, however, Bob Menendez and Bonnie Watson Coleman say that gun silencers are dangerous devices with one purpose and one purpose only. Kind of sounds like that Lynyrd Skynyrd song, handguns are good for nothing. To muffle the sound of gunfire from unsuspecting victims. Yeah, we did have a multiple victim shooting. I think it was in Texas. I can't remember for sure, but I think it was in Texas. No, maybe it was Virginia Beach. No, it's Virginia Beach. Back 2 years ago, a guy opened fire in a government building, and he had a 45 pistol, 45 caliber, 45 ACP pistol with a suppressor attached to it. And so I guess one incident makes for a pattern, as according to Bob and Bonnie. Anyway, so they want to do this. It says the sound of gunshots is what signals you to run, hide, take cover, call the police, and help others save themselves. However, this is nearly impossible when a gun silencer is used. Okay, so folks, even on a 22, which is probably one of the easier guns to suppress, it still muffles it to about to somewhere between a jackhammer and a ambulance going by, to about 115 decibels. So, yeah, it does make a lot of suppressors will make it hearing safe. But the suppressor I just spent, I don't know if Casey knows it, $3,000 on to muffle a 50 cal. I still have to wear hearing protection with it. So, but it does make it makes it easier to shoot. It makes it longer. So here they are. They want to ban guns that are less concealable now. Make it harder to a suppressor makes it harder to conceal. But guess how they can do that? If they are able to do this, all they have to do is go to the ATF and pull out the list of every single one of these suppressors that's out there, because guess what, folks? It's registered. They're all registered. You have your photo, you have your fingerprints, and so on and so forth, your name, the address where you store them. And so, but remember, now, that's what they wanted to do with the large pistols and magazines. They wanted to make them NFA-type guns, which would be registered, which then when they decide you can't have them anymore at all, it's real easy to pick them up because they have the names and addresses of everybody and a photo of them, of everybody to pick them up. So even though these suppressors are already an NFI item, there's months and months to wait on them. A criminal can actually make one at home, and they are all registered. So Bonnie Watson Coleman called silencers tools of murder in a Thursday statement. And I have a little note on here. Oh, somewhat demonizing. Somewhat cast a gloom over the party on that one. So anyway, that is what's happening. So basically they want to add more items to the NFA, which would be their registered. And then they want to ban those guns that are on the NFA. Interesting. Oh, in addition to certain types of ammunition, they want to ban that too. All right, I got to tell you about the gunsmith at Sportsman's Warehouse. And yes, they do work on Class 3 firearms, NFA-type firearms at the gunsmith. At least they did for me, and they will for you too. Anyway, what is the gunsmith? The gunsmith is a division of Sportsman's Warehouse where you can take, you don't have to actually go down to their location, 1630 South, 5070 West in Salt Lake City. You could call them 801-304-8070, 801-304-8070. They have top-notch, actual, full-fledged, certified gunsmiths there that can work on, I don't think there's anything they can't work on over there. I mean, they do everything just from your basic cleaning and oiling, metal finishing, Cerakoting, engraving, bluing. They do sights, they barrel and action work, they work on handguns, both pistols and revolvers, break open. They work on rifles. They work on shotguns. You name it, they can do everything. Even shotguns and that. And they work on even the stocks on them. You got a broken stock. You need a part that you don't have, or that your spouse grabbed your gun and broke it. They can fix these kind of things. Take it down to any of the over 110 Sportsman's Warehouse locations in the nation. And there's a several. I mean, Utah is the home of Sportsman's Warehouse, based in Midvale. Anyway, take it down to them and say, hey, I need this thing fixed. So that is a good thing. You can give them a call, like I said, 801-304-8070, or email them, thegunsmith at sportsmans.com.
A year to pay. It's part of the heritage of Morgan Jewelers that Chase and I proudly carry on at morganjewelers.com.
Protecting and preserving your constitutional right to bear arms. It's Gun Radio Utah. Here's your host, Clark Apotian.
Welcome back to Gun Radio Utah. No apologies. We are live today, beautiful Saturday. I have to go to Seattle. Did I tell you that, Jesus? I have to go to Seattle. Seattle has now joined the ranks of Chicago and Los Angeles and New York and that as kind of bad places to hang out. So, but I have to go there. I have to go take care of some business. So, I got a treat for you. All right. You listen to podcasts? Of course you do. You listen to podcasts all the time. In fact, you can find, if you're listening live and you want to find and catch up on all the Gun Radio Utah No Apologies podcast, go to iHeart.com/media, and or just Google Gun Radio Utah podcast, and you can find it there. I got another podcast for you to sign up for, to take a listen to. It is the product of Junior and Erica Hammond, along with Dre and others. They have a podcast called The 27th Hour. The 27th Hour. Just Google 27th Hour podcast, and you'll come up with everything. iTunes, probably iHeart, everything. Anyways, I was privileged to go into Junior's studio a couple weeks ago. And so if you have a hard time finding it, it's episode number 41. And we talk for an hour about gun stuff and about Utah gun stuff. And we even get into some of the work I've done on movies with, John Cusack, Danny Trejo, and I can hear my wife Casey laughing right now. Anyway, Ving Rhames, Bill Pullman, Nicolas Cage, so on and so forth. And, Roma Downey. I think it's Roma Downey. Yeah, Roma Downey. Anyway, and so we talk about that. So yeah, check out this podcast. His studio, though, if they have it on, I think probably on YouTube and that, you gotta check out this guy's studio. It is like being on a movie set of some, I don't want to say a horror movie, but it's along those lines of extremely eclectic. And he built the whole thing. Guy's extremely talented. Check him out. 27th Hour podcast. All right. Now I told you that I got a beef with guns.com. Guns.com came up with an article labeled the top 10 most friendly gun states or gun friendly states. And they start listing them. And I'm looking through there and I'm finding, okay, well, no Utah yet. No, there's Kentucky. No, Oklahoma. No, Arizona. I all got down through number one and Utah was not on the list. And I'm like, what is going on? So I looked at their metric. I looked at how they determine what is, you know, what makes it a gun-friendly state, according to them. So one of the percentage of residents who are gun owners. Well, first off, how do they know what percentage of residents are gun owners? I mean, did they just ask everybody? I find that very, I'm skeptical. And as you can probably tell, yeah, Utah should be number one on there. Percentage of residents who are gun owners. I don't know. What are we? 90%. I don't know. But anyway, so Texas had 35.7. I mean, they got it down to a 0.7. How do they know who's a gun owner? Second, constitutional carry. They gave Texas the number 10 spot, and they don't even have constitutional carry. But they said, but Texas is a shall issue state and bills are pending. Yeah, well, it ain't happening yet. You know, as much as I like Texas and dislike it too, They don't have constitutional carry. Castle Doctrine, stand your ground, no duty to retreat. Yeah, they have that. Magazine capacity, no limit set by state. Waiting period, no. Universal background check, no. Open carry permitted, yes. Public hunting land in acres. Well, obviously, if they're going to go by land in acres, Texas is going to win. Alaska should win as well. California should be right up there because just the size of the state, almost 1.6 million acres, and percent of state available to hunt. I don't know, it says one on here, so I don't know what that is. Percent of residents with paid hunting licenses. So guns.com, I got a question for you. is the gun friendly just about hunting? So, you know, I mean, I don't know. If it's just about hunting, then okay, I can see why they did it. I like things like, are you restricted from carrying in schools? Are you restricted from carrying in universities? Can you carry, you know, in a nightclub? Can you carry? Yeah, you can do all those kind of things in Utah. Constitutional carry, yeah, we have a Castle Doctrine, yes. No magazine capacity, no waiting period, no universal background checks. Open carry is permitted. Why did we not even make the top 10? So it has Missouri. When you think of gun-friendly states, Jesus, do you think Missouri? Obviously Missouri. No, Kansas. Yeah, Kansas is nice in that. Kentucky, it doesn't come to Oklahoma. I mean, these are all good states. Arizona. Arizona and Idaho, folks, are 5 and 4 on this list. And everybody has the check boxes, you know, for, you know, the constitutional carry, the Castle Doctrine, so on and so forth. And where's the love for Utah? Wyoming. Wyoming is right there. Montana is right there. Is there something noticeably absent? Yeah, Utah. Do you think I'm going to send them a little note? Of course I am. Because, folks, it ain't about hunting. It ain't about hunting. But I guess with guns.com, it is. And normally I like their stuff. All right, what do we got? Okay, we still got 2 or 3 minutes. So I wanted to talk about, well, Sarasota County Sheriff. This is the one that I mentioned with Representative Lisenby. So he heard about President Biden's gun control executive orders, essentially. And he wrote an op-ed in the local paper, and it's going viral. So op-ed by Sheriff Kurt A. Hoffman. He said several citizens had recently approached him about expressing their concern about the continued infringement of their Second Amendment rights. So in response to these concerns, I reviewed President Biden's press release, and he has the following thing. He says, read with interest, President Biden's idea to address gun violence. And he says, all of which is pure nonsense and political theater. He says, not only do proposals like these continue to infringe on the constitutional rights of the citizens of Florida and Sarasota County, but they are concurrently, they have no impact on criminal activity. So he says the president purports in his press release to invest in evidence-based community violence intervention. Oh, my gosh. That's just dripping with the hand-wringing and the bedwetting. He says to the tune of $5 billion. He says, and this is what I said. This is almost my exact response to that. He says what the president should do instead is stop feeding the defund the police narrative and arrest and prosecute the criminals who are killing our citizens. Total high five for this guy. Okay. He says also in his press release, he has concerns about illegal firearms trafficking. And he did say this. He wanted to address illegal firearms trafficking. Well, I got to remind Uncle Joe that during his part in the previous administration before President Trump, the Obama-Biden administration, they authorized federal agents to traffic in thousands of guns, ARs mostly, one of which was used, and traffic in these things and send them across the border. Yeah, south border, not to the Canadians, but to the south border. And they got into the hands of the cartels. They got into the hands of the other drug dealers. And one of these guns, which was trafficked by the federal agents, was used to kill another federal agent. So if the White House, if the Biden administration is really concerned about firearms trafficking, maybe they should run to the southern border and find out what's going on there, because that's where it's happening. So, you end it with him getting the retired ATF agent, David Chipman. Not a good idea. All right. So we'll be back next week on Gun Radio Utah. Tune in. Stay safe. Go shooting and clean up after yourself.